Okay, so we're really we dealt with the death of Avshalom last week, and today we're going to focus on, you would think this wouldn't be a topic in its own right, but it actually is a major sugya here in the Mikra, which is David's reaction in informing David and the complexity of that. And part of that complexity, as we know, has been generated by the fact that David had issued a standing order that Absalom not be harmed. And Yoav, when he was informed, of Absalom literally hanging in the balance, quite literally, from the tree, he reacted as one would expect Yoav would react, with aggression, violence. And he says to the individual, the anonymous individual informs him, basically, why didn't you kill him? And the individual says, I heard what David said to you and to Avishai and to Itai Hagiti. And, I could pretend that I didn't hear it, but I heard it. And I'm not going to lie to myself, right? Vishakarti benafshi. And that was something that was very important, that we talked about, the basic honesty of his character, as opposed to Avshalom, who was, a gonev das, we talked about that, and somebody who was looking to perpetuate, his own sense of aggrandizement and yada Avshalom, which is information that could have been presented earlier in the text, but we noted that, he ends up in a boar, in a ya'ar, outside of the land of Israel, in what we call Ya'ar Ephraim, in this anonymous place covered by boulders, where he'd imagined himself like this kind of a mausoleum, with all kinds of pomp and circumstance. So, the question is one of basic character and one of basic honesty. Okay, so thank you to everybody for joining us. It's wonderful to see everybody. If everybody's able to, we always encourage people to put on their videos if possible, so we can feel a little bit more a learning community. If it's not possible, we certainly understand. We are Yotzim LaDerech. We are off. V'achimat ben Sadok. So you'll recall that Sadok and Aviatar were the Kohanim, and their sons, Yonatan and Achimatz, were a critical part of the information system of the intelligence network that David had established in Yerushalayim under the leadership of Hushai Ha'arki. They're the ones who had informed David that Achitophel had a plan to attack that night, and Avshalom had rejected it, but it was a very tenuous situation. So Achimatz is already established as a runner. He escaped with his life, and he volunteers for yet another mibtza, another operation. V'achimatz ben Sadok amar rutzanav avasrat hamelech. I should underline that because I underlined the other ones. Right, now that Avshalom is dead, there's no question who the melech is. That's one of the major themes of this section of Shmuel. Ki shvato Hashem miyad oivav. Because God has adjudicated, God has judged David from his enemies. In this case, his enemies included his son. He doesn't mention Avshalom by name, but we understand, what's being referenced. Ki shifato Hashem miyad oivav. The idea is that David was not deserving of being unseated, certainly not by Avshalom. And it's something that, Achimatz is indicating by appealing to this shoresh of Lishpot, right? That this is justice. So Vayomer lo Yoav, Yoav says it's not such a good idea for you to go. Lo ish besora ata hayom hazeh v'yisarta biyom acher. Go on a different mission at a different time. You want to be the one to share news with the king, right? We don't want you to go. Vayom hazeh lo tevaser ki alkein ben hamelech meit. It's interesting. Nobody's going to say his name. They won't even say his name. And that could be for a variety of reasons. Maybe, Avshalom is persona non grata. Maybe, right, there's a feeling of uneasiness, right? Because they know that they weren't supposed to harm Avshalom. Yoav knows that. But he says, I don't want you to go. So I'm going to send somebody else. And hopefully we can think together and try to arrive at some understanding of why Yoav prefers this individual, who's the Cushi, according to one tradition within Chazal. He's the very person, I think this is a little bit far-fetched based on what we discussed last week, but he's the very person who saw Avshalom hanging from the tree. Vayomer Yoav laKushi, lechaged laMelech. Okay, so again, should have underlined it. Ashera ita, what you saw. So the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says, oh, that's why it was the anonymous informant from last week, the one who told Yoav that he saw Avshalom hanging. But presumably it's somebody else, right? That individual wasn't described as the Cushi. And also, as we'll go on to make a suggestion in a moment, right, it seems to be unlikely that Yoav would send an individual. Vayomer Yoav laKushi lechaged laMelech ashera ita, vayishtachu Cushi liYoav vayarutz. So the Cushi runs, and he's going to be the one to tell David that A, the Abdei David were victorious over Absalom's massive army, and B, that Absalom is dead. What indication in the Psukim do we have already that Yoav may have had a good reason to send this individual, this Cushi, even though we don't know anything else about him? Vayomer Yoav laKushi lechaged laMelech asher ra'ita vayishtachu Cushi liYoav vayarotz. As opposed to Achimatz, what's the advantage?
If Cushi is bowing down to Yoav, it seems like he's subservient to him, whereas Achimatz has the role of Kohen, and maybe it's not Yoav's, maybe he's Yoav's more ambivalent to send him.
Okay, excellent. I would say 95% of the way there. Just to finish off the thought, is what do we know, Ruthie, about Achimatz's, you know, track record? To whom does he, to whom has he demonstrated clear allegiance?
David.
Right, at the risk of his life. So Yoav has to be very concerned about what? That whoever informs, right, David, that Absalom is dead, right, how does Yoav formulate it? Ki al kein ben hamelech meit, right? Doesn't use his name, Absalom. He doesn't say who killed him. All of a sudden, it's just Absalom died somehow, some way. Me, Yoav, what? Yoav is already creating the structure and the framework so as to distance himself. And I think you're absolutely right, Ruthie, right? That's the diuk of Ishtachu Chushi liYoav vayarotz. As opposed to Achimatz ben Sadok, who has demonstrated at the risk of his own life profound loyalty to David. Let's go half a step further. Remember we talked about there were two Kohanim, Eviatar and Sadok. And what did we say? That Eviatar had been the Kohen Gadol, and Sadok then replaced him, right? Just as they were heading back to Yerushalayim, and David sends the Aron back to Yerushalayim. So Achimatz ben Sadok has a very good reason to be extremely loyal to David. Ruthie, you started to touch on this, namely, presumably, if all goes according to plan,
in line.
There it is. Okay, so Vayosef od Achimatz ben
Sadok. You're saying he doesn't have loyal, like he doesn't have, you're saying his motives aren't so pure?
I think both can be true. He was absolutely prepared to risk his life for David. I think that there's great allegiance there. But I think that it also aligns with his personal interest. So he's dochek. We're going to see that. He's very insistent. Mitakesh. So vayosef od Achimatz ben Sadok vayomer Yoav vihima rutzana gam ani acharei haKushi. Right? Yoav already sent the Kushi, but he wants to go. Vayomer Yoav, lama ze ata ratz b'ni? What? Yoav is very suspicious. Why would you be the one to go? U'lechayin b'sora motzeid. You have nothing to say. Right? If the Kushi's going already. Vayhima, but he insists, arutz. So Yoav then says, Vayomer lo rutz. So Yoav says, okay. Vayaretz Achimatz derech hakikar vayavor et haKushi. So Achimatz actually is able, in a very short amount of time, we'll see that he may have been a great runner. I think you can infer that from the text. So Achimatz is actually able to surpass the Kushi. He's able to get out in front of him by going Derech HaKikar, maybe by choosing a better pathway. So let's just think about this for a second. Yoav yields. Why does Yoav yield? Why does Yoav say, okay, Roots, go? Two possible reasons. Why doesn't Yoav say, no, I'm not letting you go. I'm the general of the army. I'm not, you know, you have to violate my command to go. Why is Yoav yielding? Maybe three possible reasons.
Maybe he doesn't want to make too big of a deal about it.
Okay, that's number one for sure. You don't want to look too guilty, right? One. Two is maybe he already stalled enough. So if the Kushi can get there first, the Kushi can give Yoav's version of events, which is just Ben HaMelech mate. And three, and this is going to be a very important question, is maybe Yoav thinks that it's not the worst thing in the world if Achimatz goes, because what might Achimatz not really know? Right, so
militarily,
we don't know. We actually don't know what Achimatz really knows. How widely known it was within the army that Yoav was personally responsible for the death of Absalom. That Absalom might have survived if not for Yoav. Okay. So v'David yoshev ben shnei ha-sha'arim. So imagine a walled area where there are two walls, an outer wall and an inner wall, and each one has a gate. And David is positioned right there. Vayilech hatzofel gaga shar lachoma, and there's a watch person looking out who's sort of pacing back and forth on the roof by the gate of the city, right? So imagine that there's a top of the wall there, el hachoma. Vayisarina vayar vine ish ratz levado, and there was one person running to them. And as we'll see, it's a pretty clear indication, if one person is running, that it's not that the army is fleeing, but that there's one person who's going to bring news of what has transpired on the field of battle.
Can I ask just a quick question?
Yeah, so of course.
Before, I just don't have the text in front of me. When Absalom was sitting by Shar HaMelech before, kind of like getting the people, before David, and David was more inside, is it a similar... Like, is it a similar language? Do they want us to kind of bring back that image?
So it's really interesting that you take it back to that. I think it's an interesting reference, an interesting idea. I was actually going to go exactly to that phrase and to try to think a little bit about what this space is, right? This is a space in between. V'David yoshev ben shnei ha-she'arim, right? It's really interesting. He's not outside and he's not inside. He's like sort of in between. He's between the Sha'arim. This is a transitional period for David. He's trying to figure out, am I inside or am I outside? Am I going to be the Melech? Or am I going to be maybe killed or deposed or exiled? So he's sort of hanging in the balance. Now what's really interesting about this image of Yoshev ben Shnei HaSha'arim as an image of hanging in the balance is who else? Very recently, sort of hanging in the balance. In a very different way, but David Yoshev ben Shnei HaSha'arim. So Absalom was hanging. Right. Literally hanging in the balance. So you have this really interesting image that the text is creating for us, Navi is creating for us, of both Absalom and David could have gone either way. Absalom is Yored, and David, as we know, is going to be Olah v'chozer l'gdula. Right? He's going to resume his position. Now, I want to go to the end of the pasuk. Vayilech ha-tzofel gag ha-shar l'choma. So the tzofel, the lookout, is described as being on the Gag and right on the Choma. So that to me is very poignant. Okay, go ahead, Ruthie. I see you
had it. Bat Sheva.
Right, so I think it's actually Bat Sheva and Uriah. Let me just take you there. First, this is the third source. Vahila Eta Erev, Vayakum David Me'al Mishkavo, Vayitalech HaGag Beit HaMelech, Vayar Isha Rochatzet Me'al HaGag, Vayisha Tovat Marem Ma'od. So the Navi is bringing everything full circle. What David is about to experience, right, sort of the bitter end of this entire process that started 8 chapters ago, when David was mitalech al gag beit hamelech, just as the tzofeh is holech el gag hashar. But the Navi puts in an extra word there, which is the choma. And I can't help but think that that's a reference to the following. Oh, go ahead, Ruthie. I see you had it. Okay, go ahead.
I just remember when he... Well, I didn't even look at the puzzle here. I was just remembering how David wanted Uriah to go back to be with his wife, and he refused to do that, and he like lied by the gates there, by the wall of the city, not willing to go back home.
Okay, excellent. And then the story with Uriah ends. Vayomer Malach al David. David gets the message. He gavru aleinu anashim. This is in the war. Vayitzu aleinu hasadeh v'nialeh amad petach hashar. This is the war against Ammon, right? It was by the Sha'ar. Okay, hold that. Vayaru Amorim Alavadecha Me'al HaChoma, right? And the archers were shooting arrows down from on top of the Choma. Vayamutu Me'avdei HaMelech V'gam Avdecha Uriah HaChiti Meit. So the sin of Bathsheba, the Gag, the sin of Uriah, the Sha'ar, and the Choma. So what do we have? Gag, Sha'ar, Choma. This is exactly what Natan HaNavi said, right? Mikim alecha ra'a mi beitcha, that the consequence of the sin, of the compounded sin of Bathsheba and Uriah, was going to result in tragedy for David. So Vayikrat Sofeh, so the lookout calls, Vayagid Lamelech, Vayomer HaMelech Im Levado B'Sara B'Fiv, right, this doesn't look like an army that's fleeing, right, it's just a messenger, Vayilech Haloch V'Karev, closer and closer, Vayarat Sofeh Ish Acherats, and then he says it's strange, there's somebody else running. So you have the Kushi and Achimatz, as viewed by the lookout. Vayikrat Sofed El Hashoer. So he calls down to the guy who's guarding the gate below. Vayomer Hinei Ish Ratz Levado. So I think he's suspicious, right? Vayomer HaMelech Gamzeh Mivaser. So David says, these are two Mivasrim. These are two people who are reporting from the field of battle. But you can see that it was suspicious, right? That Sofed can't figure out, why are there two people coming? One makes sense. Two, he's already starting to talk to the shoer, the guard, maybe don't let the second guy in. So Vayomer Atzofa, Niro Ed Murutzat HaRishon Kim Murutzat HaChimatz Ben Tzadok. Vayomer HaMelech Ish Tov Zevel B'Sora Tova Yavo. So the lookout says, you know, the gate, the way that the first one runs is the way that Achimatz runs. Apparently, he was a very well-known runner, right? Sort of like it takes us back to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel with Asael, was, you know, Kala Roots, as we discussed then. So he runs in a very particular fashion. Maybe he's very fast. That's why he was able to get past the Kushi. And the Melach, David, thinks that this is good news, right? David has always benefited up until now from Achimatz ben Tzadok. So Vayikra Achimatz Vayomer al HaMelech Shalom Vayishtachu LaMelech Le'apav Arza. And Achimatz, when he comes into David's presence, he's let in, obviously, through the gate, and he bows down in front of David. So let's just pause here. We've had two incidents of bowing down in the perek. We noted at the beginning, Yoav was extremely skeptical about who to send, how to send him, how exactly this was going to play itself out. So the Cushi had bowed down to Yoav. Achimatz bows down to David. Achimatz never bows to Yoav. So we now have two people who are coming with the same information. But the question, of course, is going to be one of presentation. Right? We're living in a society where everybody allegedly reports the day's news. But depending on which channel you're watching, you get a very different story. So we have to obviously be attuned to the possibility of getting two very different reports. But what do we know from life? What makes all the difference when you have conflicting reports? What makes all the difference, or can make a very, very significant difference? And this is, I think, the whole drama that we spoke about in terms of how they were running and who was running. What makes a big difference?
Which one you hear first?
There it is. Right. Okay. So the fact that Achimatz gets there first is not what Yoav had in mind. Yoav may have felt that he delayed things enough that the Cushi certainly would get there first. Give his version of events. Ben HaMelech Meit, Avshalom died, so no. Who knows? Is there going to be an autopsy? No, he's buried in this ravine underneath a heap of boulders. Nobody's going to get to him. They're not going to be able to trace this back to Yoav. Right? It was something that Yoav was hoping to be able to clearly conceal. So Vayomer Baruch Adonai Elohecha Asher Sagar Anashim Asher Nasu Et Yadam Baduni HaMelech. So the way that Achimatz tells the story is Baruch Hashem Elokecha speaks in terms of Hashem's name, which is very important to David. Eilu Barecha Veilu Asusim Anachnu B'Shem Hashem. Elokeinu nazkir, heima karu v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad, Hashem Moshiach Melech Yanenu v'yom karenu. So Baruch Hashem Elokecha, he's speaking David's language. Asher sigar et anashim asher nasu et yadam, that God has handed over the people who raised up their hands, Baduni HaMelech, against you, my master, the king. Vayomer HaMelech, Shalom, Linar, Lav, Shalom. David ignores all the information. He has one question. What about Avshalom? Vayomer Achimatz, Ra'iti Hamon Hagadol. I saw a great tumult. Lishloach et Eved HaMelech Yoav. Surrounding the king's servant Yoav. He points out Yoav. Ver avdecha and me, your servant, velo yadatima. I don't know about Avshalom. I don't know. So Achimatz gives this very decisive, clear, unambiguous report of the battle, and he gives this incredibly ambiguous report about Avshalom. He says there was a Hamon Gadol, Yoav had something to do with it, and I don't know. Lo yadati. Now, I would say Yoav's suspicions were justified. Because Achimatz is not taking responsibility for informing David of the death of Avshalom, but what is he doing? He's basically saying, you know who would know about it? As if to say, why don't you go ask him? Me? Oh, well, there was fog of war. There was a Hamon Gadol. Lots of people. It was very confusing. Lo yadati ma. It's interesting. The Abravanel writes, "Hine kichei shachimatz mitad Avshalom." He lied. Achimatz really did know with certitude that Avshalom was dead. Right? Yoav may not have been sure about that. It's not entirely clear how many people knew at this point. Perhaps Achimatz had reason to doubt Yoav's report. But the Abravanel thinks, no, Achimatz knew. But he was not willing to tell the king the truth. It's a bold thing. So now we're going to see what happens with the Kushi. But the Abravanel says this was a lie when he says, Lo yadati ma. I think that's the simple pshat. So Vayomer HaMelech, so David says, Sov, right, go stand off to the side, Hityatzev ko, Vayisov Vayomod. David knows somebody else is coming. Vine HaKushi ba, Vayomer HaKushi yitbaser Adoni HaMelech, Kishvatcha Hashem Hayom Yad Kol HaKamim Alecha. God has avenged you of all, right, adjudicated you, made you victorious over all those who rose up against you. Miyad Kol HaKamim Alecha. So far, right, not so different than Achimatz's opening line, Baruch Hashem Lekech Asher Sigarat Anashim Asher Nesu Et Yadam Badadi HaMelech. So Vayomer Melech al Akushi, so he repeats the same question, Hashalom Lenar Lav Shalom, Vayomer Akushi, Yiyu Chana'ar, Oyvei Adoni HaMelech, V'chol Asher Kamu Alech al Ra'a. What happened to the Na'ar, let's say Avshalom's name, what happened to the Na'ar is what should happen to all of your enemies, everybody who rises up against you. In plain English, Avshalom is dead. Now, the Kushi, who had bowed down, as Ruthie noted earlier in the Perek, right? The Kushi who had bowed down to Yoav doesn't say a word about Yoav. There's no trail and there's no trace. Vayomer HaKushi, Yiyu Chana'ar Oyvei Adoni HaMelech, V'chol Asher Kamu Alecha L'Ra'a. You know, Yoav was many things, but he was no fool. He was no fool. Had the Kushi been the only one that was sent, Yoav's name would never have been associated with the death of Avshalom. But since Achimatz goes, and not only that he goes, but he gets there first, I think as Elisheva mentioned, right? Or was it, maybe it was Charlotte who mentioned it, right? I think it was Elisheva, okay? So the association with Yoav is now inextricable from the death of Avshalom. And that is obviously going to have to be something that's dealt with. The first pasuk of the 19th chapter that we'll take a look at tonight, and we'll obviously pick it up from there. Vayirgaz HaMelech. David is angry. Why is he angry? Sad, depressed. We could understand. Why is he angry? Vayugaz HaMelech. The pasuk says that first. Vayugaz HaMelech. Why? Why is he angry?
He didn't listen to him.
He knows. He gave very clear instructions. Yoav, Avishai, Itai, Agiti. He's angry. Vayugaz HaMelech Vayal Yilat Aliyat HaShar Vayev Kvicho Amar Belechto B'ni Avshalom Bini, bini, Avshalom. Mitein muti ani tachtecha. Would that I have died and you had lived. Avshalom, bini, bini. This is the sadness. This is the agony. But before that, there was anger. Vayugaz HaMelech. Bini Avshalom. Bini Bini Avshalom. Avshalom Bini Bini. We'll spend a lot of time analyzing this, God willing, next week. But it's striking. This is not the first time, and it's not even the second time, that we've seen David have to react to the death of a son. Bini Avshalom. Bini Bini. Avshalom, bini, bini. It's crushed. And it's striking because when David loses his first son, right, David gets up and the Avadim don't understand it because up until then he was fasting and he was davening and he was praying. And he says to the Avadim, well, what am I going to do? He's dead now. I can't do anything. Ani holei v'hu lo yeshuv elai. He's not going to return. David seems to grasp that, okay, so that was an infant, this is an adult son. B'chol ofen. It's crushing. It's raw. David doesn't have this level of reaction to Amnon's death. Avshalom. A soft spot. A raw, raw, raw. And a soft spot. Vayurgaz HaMelech. He was angry. And Achimatz planted that seed. Hamon gadol, lo yadati. Avdecha HaMelech Yoav. You can almost sort of envision him stumbling over his words, not quite sure what he's going to say. What we're going to have to deal with next week is leaving aside some of the drama of Yoav, and Yoav will play the central role next week, is David's, you know, reaction. People just went to war for him. They risked their lives for him. It would have been easy to join Avshalom's rebellion and say, oh, he's just David's Yoresh. David's kind of aging as it is. He can't go out to the battle anymore. Better that he should be in the city. Let's let David retire. We'll give him a pension. People had just risked their lives and the lives of their family for sure. Had Absalom been victorious, it meant, you know, that they would all be annihilated. And on this day of victory, on this day when David was Bein HaSha'arim, he was not neither in nor out, where his fate was hanging in the balance, David weeps for the victory of his Avadim because of the death of his son. And he demonstrates no interest whatsoever in the outcome of the war other than to say, HaShalom, Lenar Lav Shalom. He asks both of them the same question. No reaction. When they tell him, Baruch Hashem Elokecha, or Hashem Asher Sigar at Oyvei HaMelech, he doesn't say, wonderful news, now what about Absalom? There's not even a reaction. There's no, and David knows how to give Hodah, and he knows how to give Shevach. He wrote Sefer Tehillim. I don't see any Mizmor Latoda. I don't see any Hallel. It's striking. It's absolutely striking. And again, I can't emphasize enough, it's not the first time that David is dealing with the death of his son. The third time. Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni, Avshalom, b'ni, 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 Avshalom. The one who deposed him, the one who defiled the Pilagshim. Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni. This challenges us to think about David's position as the Melech. Right, well, what's the essence of corruption? This is a hard thing to say, but putting personal interests ahead of public interests, right? The person who has a public trust, and then a person puts personal interests ahead of a public trust. Giving the order in its own right, not to kill Avshalom, who was leading this rebellion, was itself a form of betrayal. If Avshalom is killed, maybe he could have saved 20,000 of his soldiers. Why? If Avshalom is dead, so who are they fighting for? Shalom al Yisrael, let everybody go home. Right? 20,000 people died. In the battle alone, sounds like more than that died in the forests. For them, David hasn't a tear to shed. Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni, Avshalom the murderer, Avshalom the rebel. All of David's emotional energy is wrapped up. It's a personal situation. I'm not excusing what Yoav did in violating David's commandment and his pkuda. I'm questioning the commandment itself and David's reaction to the war. Hashalom, l'nar l'av shalom. He's not a nar. He's not innocent. This is not, you know, Yishmael, Kishmael, Okim, Al Kol Anar, Basher, Usham, Tzadik Hayabot Hashah, that he was righteous and, you know, God only judges people based on the time and place. These are very difficult things. And it forces us to confront, how much is he David and how much is he, as we said, one of the motifs, HaMelech? This is a very difficult situation, I'm not denying that. But if David is so concerned that Avshalom, you know, the only thing that matters is that Avshalom should be able to, you know, get home safely, so maybe David shouldn't have asked people to fight for him in the first place. If that's the most important thing, so let everybody, let Avshalom be the king. You're asking for a war. And tens of thousands of people die, and Avshalom is the only one that you have any concern for. I know these are hard things to say, but we have to confront David's reaction and his leadership. Ahimaaz ben Sadok thought that giving David the news, right, that his malchus was saved, that he was saved, to give that besorah was a great thing. And it shows you he completely misread David. The only thing David cares about is Hashalom and Arlav Shalom. And Ben Hashar, right? And while he was at it, he also implicated Yoav. As Yoav suspected that he might. But Achimatz ben Sadok, if you think about it, right? The one who risked his life, just last, two prakim ago, he was in a well. He was literally in a well in somebody's yard, hiding from Avdei Avshalom to go and save David. He couldn't imagine that David would welcome this news with bitter tears. So we leave things off in a very complex place. David's Malchus is intact, but how much is he still the Melech? How much does he want to be the Melech? What are his priorities? One final point for the evening. You know, in life, if you don't deal with a problem, it doesn't go away. When Yoav killed Avner, David said, "What am I going to do? These Bnei Tzuria, they're Anashim Kashimod, I'm a Nar Varach." He didn't deal with it then. And now it's hitting even closer to home. Can't run from problems. Yoav was a problem. David used him for his own ignominious purposes when he needed to, right? When it came to Uriah Hachiti and the Choma, as we spoke about tonight. Yoav is a problem. And he's always been a problem. And leadership means dealing with the problems, the difficult problems. If you don't want to deal with those issues, then don't be the leader. That's an unmistakable message of Sefer Shmuel. You kick a problem down the road, it gets bigger and it gets worse. So God willing, next week, we set the stage for the confrontation between Yoav and David. Yoav's been implicated. There's no way around it. David is forlorn about his son. His very desire to be the Melech has to be called into question. We have a lot to look forward to next week. I want to thank everybody for joining us.